Tomorrow is January 6th, and today, the closest Sunday to January 6th, we often call the Sunday of the Three Kings, or maybe Star Sunday. You'll have the chance to receive a star a little bit later in this service. It's also called, in some circles, Epiphany Sunday. Epiphany is a word that's a bit more abstract than star or three kings, and so I actually took out my old Merriam-Webster dictionary and looked up what it said. And there are two definitions. One was an appearance or manifestation, especially of a divine being. So Epiphany is when God shows up unexpectedly. And if you were listening closely to the music, you already would have heard a couple of references to that in the song that we just listened to. Thank you, choir, for that. The very second line, it says, Child of the Sovereign Heart, to thee we kneel. Transcendent majesty thou dost reveal. So God reveals to us God's transcendent majesty. Then the second definition from the dictionary is that Epiphany is a revealing scene or moment when God gives us some kind of insight that we're not expecting. That's what happens in our second passage today from Ephesians chapter 3. Paul spends a lot of the first paragraph talking about how there's a mystery that needs to be revealed and how the mystery has been hidden for generations. And then we get Paul's epiphany where he reveals what it is that God has told him, what fresh idea and perspective there is. So listen now to God's word to us from Ephesians and listen about the mystery and then about God's revelation. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. As I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive any understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been made known, been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, and here's the epiphany that Paul has received, that is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The author Danny Gregory says that life is just a long succession of small epiphanies. Life is just a long succession of small epiphanies. I'll go him one better. I think history is just a long succession of small epiphanies. I mean, think about it. Through the Old Testament, Abraham realizing that he was blessed to be a blessing. And then Moses getting an epiphany at the burning bush. And then Ruth having this epiphany that she was to follow her mother-in-law around to the end of her days, of all things, her mother-in-law. And then the prophet Elijah understanding that God was going to speak to him not in the storm or in the earthquake or in the wind, but in the silence. So I think history is a succession of small epiphanies, life is a succession of small epiphanies, and just so you know, this sermon is going to be a series of small epiphanies. Here's the first one from the passage from Matthew that Carl read. It's the story of the wise men coming to see the baby Jesus. Now keep in mind that Mary and Joseph and Jesus were all Jewish, And they've probably never met anyone who is not Jewish in their whole lives. So every single person they have ever come into contact in their whole lives has been Jewish, except for the wise men who come. The wise men who have this epiphany from God that a king of Jews have been born. And so they come and they bring fancy gifts, expensive gifts, to give to this new baby. They have this epiphany that this is going to be a big deal, that the baby has been born. And so these people, these Gentiles, they come and bring gifts for the baby Jesus. One commentator that I read, a guy named Paul Walaske, he puts it this way. He says, at the same time that the Jewish Messiah is made visible to the Gentile wise men, Jesus has also recognized these Gentiles as children of God. Now, I think that's a bit of a stretch. Jesus would be at his oldest in his terrible twos at this point. It seems odd to me that someone in their terrible twos, think about your two-year-old children, that they could recognize somebody else as children of God. That seems like a stretch to me. But what doesn't seem like a stretch to me is that Matthew, who wrote this story, knew full well that these wise men were welcomed unexpectedly into God's family. That's the first epiphany that we see, that God welcomes people that we don't expect into God's family. It happens again in our passage from Ephesians, where Paul tells us that there's been this great mystery that has come, and then he's had this epiphany that Gentiles are also welcomed into God's family. Here's the way he puts it. He says, Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus. Now for us, that probably doesn't seem too surprising. Probably almost all of us are Gentiles, right? We don't have Jewish background. Probably everybody here are Gentiles. And we don't really think about it as being that surprising that God has us in his family, because of course we have faith in Christ, or we're seeking to learn more about Christ. So it doesn't seem so odd to us, after 2,000 years of knowing that we're welcomed into God's family, it doesn't seem so unexpected. But when Paul was writing this, it would have been shocking. Because remember, the whole Old Testament, we hear God telling the Jews again and again and again not to intermix with the Gentiles, either in their romantic relationships or in their business dealings or in their religious interactions. So we've got thousands of years before Paul writes, the idea that the Gentiles should be separate from the Jews. And then all of a sudden, Paul says, no, wait, we're actually co-heirs with the Jews. And that doesn't make any sense to the Jews either, because in all of their tradition, they have known that the way to get the best inheritance is to marry somebody as close to your own bloodline as possible. So kids would get more, especially women, girls, would get more of an inheritance if they married within their own Jewish tribe. So if they married with another Jewish tribe, still within Jews, they would get less inheritance than if they married in their own Jewish tribe. So the closer the connection, the bigger the inheritance you would get. So Paul coming and saying, hey, wait, you know, even though these Gentiles are not Jews at all, they're not part of any of these tribes, God's going to make them equal to the Jewish people in terms of giving the same inheritance. That would have been super surprising to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And I think it's really the second epiphany that we see through these passages, because we get this great idea that we Gentiles are invited in, this unexpected invitation in to receive this inheritance that we wouldn't have ever expected or deserved. To help you get an idea of what it might feel like to get this unexpected inheritance, I want to tell you a story about something true that happened in Portugal about 15 years ago. There were people throughout the city of Lisbon that received a letter saying that they were heirs to the estate of a guy named Luis Carlos de Noronha Cabral de Camara. And don't worry, there's not a quiz on his name afterwards. But they were heirs. So people throughout Lisbon got letters that they were heirs to this gentleman's inheritance. And none of them knew who the person was. And in fact, they thought it must be some cruel joke that someone is sending out letters saying they're going to inherit something from somebody they've never heard of. Well, finally, one of them calls the lawyer, and the lawyer says, yes, it's true, you are going to receive an inheritance. He said, let me tell you what happened. So this gentleman, Mr. Cabral de Camara, he was an illegitimate son of a Portuguese aristocrat, and he did not have any kids of his own, and he did not have any close friends. And so he went to a notary's office, asked them for a Lisbon phone book, and picked 70 names at random out of the phone book who would be his heirs. 70 names at random. And then those 70 letters after he died, 70 letters went out saying, hey, you've inherited this money. And they thought, well, it couldn't be much money because he's got 70 heirs. And it turns out that each of them inherited a few thousand euros. That was an unexpected inheritance. They were welcomed into this unexpected relationship, and they got a surprise that they never could have expected. I think back in Paul's day, when he was writing this, the Gentiles would have expected this too. They would have gotten this unexpected invitation. So for those people in Portugal that got that, let's say those are epiphanies number three. So God invited the Gentiles in unexpectedly to God's family. God invites us unexpectedly into God's family. And that means that we invite other people into our family here at the church, because Paul also says that the church is a sign of God's goodness to the world. So this unexpected invitation goes on and on, and I got a glimpse of what this looked like when my niece Sarah came to worship here the Sunday after, or my cousin Sarah came to worship here the Sunday after Thanksgiving, here at the 11 o'clock service. Maybe some of you had a chance to meet her. Sarah had not come to church here before, and in fact, she had almost not gone to church anywhere before, so she was pretty nervous about coming into worship. So I told her, don't worry, every single thing you have to say or do is in the bulletin or in the hymnal. And I got her a church buddy. I got Gail Stringer Wayne to, Gail, give you a wave back there. I got Gail to be her church buddy. There's nobody in this church better than Gail to be a church buddy for. And so Sarah made it through the service fine. And she came and she came up while I was greeting people on their way out. And I was talking to people about whatever was going on in their lives, and she said, wow, do you really know every person here? And I said, no, I don't know every person here, although I wish I did. But she stood there while watching people interacting with each other, and I don't think, my sense is she had never really experienced Christian community, that she had never really seen people care for each other the way that the people going out were caring as they asked about spouses who were sick, or they talked about people who were grieving, or they reflected on vacation plans together. I don't think she had ever seen a group of people do that together. And so I think it was an epiphany for her, epiphany number four, we'll say. It was an epiphany for her to realize that there could be people inviting other people into their lives the way that she saw. And Sarah texted me at the later that day, and she's texted me and she said, make sure I get it right. She said, the love in that space was palpable, is what she said. And so that gave me an epiphany. We'll call it epiphany number five. That gave me an epiphany that what if we had as our New Year's resolution, what if we had the idea that everyone who comes into this space would understand this palpable love that Sarah saw? What if we lived into this epiphany, the one that Paul had, number two, that unexpected people are invited into God's house and God's family? Now, it wouldn't be easy if we took on this New Year's resolution together, because we're not always that good at it. I wish I could tell you that all of my friends who have come visited have had the experience that Sarah did, but they haven't. I had a group of three friends who came one Sunday. It was a Sunday when we were, before the great room was finished, and so we had one service together, and then we went downstairs for a meal. So they got here early for church. They went through worship. They stood in line for the meal. They went down and ate. And then it was when they were leaving that someone finally engaged them in conversation. So they had been in the church for more than 2 hours before anyone asked them anything about themselves, before anyone sincerely welcomed them. So that's why I think it's important that we would have this resolution to share this epiphany from Paul, that we invite people unexpectedly into God's family. There's a writer from Christianity Today named Rebecca McLaughlin. She recently tweeted something that I think could be helpful for us in this regard. She said, "My husband has 3 rules of engagement when we go to church. Number 1, anyone alone in our gathering is an emergency. So if we look around and we see somebody by themselves, we go to talk to them and engage them because that's an emergency. Number 2, friends can wait. We talk to people that we don't know before we talk to the people that we do know. And number 3, introduce a newcomer to someone else." Now, there happened to be a new family that was here after the 9 o'clock service, and I'm afraid they got bombarded because I had just told them these 3 rules. But the good news is they did get bombarded. But what if we could live it out every Sunday? What if in 2020 we could invite people, unexpected people, into God's family alongside us? I think if we did, they'd have an epiphany too. I think that makes number 6. They would have an epiphany too, that God has welcomed them into God's family in a way they wouldn't have expected at all. And that seems like a pretty good way to spend 2020. May it be so by God's grace. Amen.